This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. This morning on the program, we have with us two attorneys who are working on a case that I know you have heard about. We have attorneys Joe Brandon and Tom Smith with us, and they are working on a case to thwart the construction of the Islamic Center of Murfreesboro, and I know that that case has had judgments made several times, but the case is continuing. First of all, good morning to both of you. Good to have you both here with us today.
Good morning, Bart. Glad to, and thank you for having us.
And let me mention this at the very beginning because I want everyone to totally understand WGNS works very hard to cover both sides of all issues that impact our community. And we have had programs for and against the Islamic Center of Murfreesboro, and we're trying to keep the number even on coverage on both of those. And we had the opportunity to have these two attorneys with us who've been working on the case, and we wanted to get their thoughts on this. First of all, how does the case stand right now?
Well, at the present time, we have a hearing set to schedule this case for a final trial date. And that is on the issue of lack of public notice that was given to the citizens and residents of Rutherford County.
If I'm correct, and let me know if I'm not, I was told that if that is approved, that would only slow down the construction. It would not change anything.
When you say approved, you mean if we win on the lack of public notice?
Right, on the lack of public notice.
Mm-hmm. Well, in theory, I suppose it could go that way, but the truth is, if we win on lack of public notice, all permits issued will be declared void from the beginning. So they being the Islamic Center of Murfreesboro, would be operating on no permits. I suppose they could attempt to go back through the process.
And then you would then watch, or what would happen then? Let's sort of just sort of play it as it might unfold there.
Well, what got these plaintiffs involved, they're not opposed to people being able to worship. What got these individuals involved was the lack of notice. Running something of this magnitude through without any notice to anyone except a few government officials. So, assuming we win, which I feel confident that we will, it would be up to the plaintiffs to make a determination as to whether or not they would wish to proceed further at that point.
Bart, what would happen in that process is that the citizens and our clients, the plaintiffs, would have an opportunity to communicate with their elected officials. The testimony in the preliminary hearing indicated that even the commissioner for that district had no idea that a multi-city training center was coming into Murfreesboro. So the point about going through the process again is the very issue that we're contesting. The citizens have a right to communicate with their elected officials concerning and learn what this multi-city training center is all about.
Now, have similar cases to this come up in other communities, and have other attorneys worked on them, and have you communicated with them on what responses they have gotten?
This case is really unique in this sense. We argued before Chancellor Corlew that there's a federal law called the Religious Land Use and Institutionalized Persons Act that applied in most of these cases around the country, but there was a ruling from the Ninth Circuit in California that said that the federal law doesn't preempt your local procedural rules for notice and hearing. And so that's what makes this case unique, is we believe that the county did violate those rules, and that's what's at issue in this case. This is unlike most any other case in the country for that reason.
Now, what you are arguing at this point in this case is different from what you started arguing, wasn't it? You were initially talking about the different aspects of each religion, the Islamic religion versus Christianity, and would Sharia law conflict with the Constitution? Was that the beginning of the case?
Well, Sharia law does conflict with the Constitution. Sharia law and the United States Constitution cannot coexist. But to answer your question, it's a yes and no. When this lawsuit was filed, there were two prongs to it. One dealt with a due process violation, which is Sharia law. The second prong dealt with lack of public notice. Chancellor Corlew previously ruled, and this is the law, that to be able to make an argument with respect to a constitutional issue, one must have particularized injury. That is some injury that is unique to that individual over and above Joe Q. Public. Chancellor Corlew ruled that even though there were 14 neighbors that lived directly across the street, he ruled that they could not show particularized injury. That even though Henry Golzinski, who lost his son in Iraq by a weapon shot from a mosque, could not show particularized injury, that Lisa Moore, a Messianic Jew, could not show particularized injury. As a result, we are left to go forward on the lack of public notice.
Have those thoughts been carried forward in other courts around the nation? Or was this sort of the trial and it the balloon burst?
The issue, Bart, the legal issue, was whether this multi-city training center was a religious institution or a small country church, which is what the Rutherford zoning regulations contemplated. And I think that was a unique issue. But that's why the question, the religious issue debate came up. Is this a small country church as envisioned in the Rutherford County zoning regulations? That was the issue. And the chancellor avoided that issue by basically saying the plaintiffs don't have a right to contest that. Now, that may be appealed. We believe there's a statute that specifically grants them the right. But were we to prevail on that issue, then there would be no a mosque at that site or a training center at that site.
Expand on your thoughts on that just a bit, because I think that's an interesting topic to focus on. Is this a typical small rural church? And if not, how does it differ? What is the purpose of it?
Well, it's a 52,000 square foot facility, so it's not small. It has a cemetery. It has a training center. It has a sports field. In any other setting, commercially, of course, there would have been separate hearings for those things, and they would have gone to the Board of Zoning Appeal. And the constitution of the center on the website indicated that it's focusing not only on Murfreesboro, but also in Franklin, on Shelbyville, on Lebanon, on Woodbury, and these other cities as well. So it's not just a small church for the community or for the 250 members of the original mosque. It has a much larger scope, and that's the legal question that we presented to the court.
Now, was this presented by the persons of the Islamic Center of Murfreesboro as a small church, or did they say, no, we have plans here for a facility of 50-something thousand square feet, and we're wanting to use it as a training center?
The testimony of the commissioners was that they thought that there were 250 parishioners involved. That was the basis for the traffic studies. That was the basis for most of their conclusions. So I think the evidence shows that they were led to believe that this was simply a mosque for the Islamic community here in Murfreesboro.
So when they were voting on this issue, they didn't have any of the information about the architectural renderings or the size of the facility, anything of that sort?
According to the commissioners on the Planning Commission that testified, they knew nothing. The only two individuals that had any knowledge was Mayor Burgess and Doug DeMasi, who both testified that they had met with individuals of the Islamic Center prior to May the 17th, which was the day it got approved. Otherwise, there's a total of 11 planning commissioners. Only 10 showed up that day. They testified they had no knowledge until they sat down in their chair and they had a site plan application in front of them.
Did they have to vote at that point, or did they have the opportunity to say, we need to study this, we don't know what we're voting on?
Well, they do that to other folks. and that is they tell folks, hey, we have to defer, we have to get more information. But for some reason, this was shotgunned through in a total of 17 days.
As you put the pieces together, and I guess that's basically what an attorney does, you go back after everything's already happened and try to put together what happened. What are some of the things you're finding as you talk with residents, as you talk with people who have been involved in this? What are some of the things they're telling you?
Frustration on behalf of the public. I've not talked to anyone that does not believe in freedom of religion and the Constitution. But folks had absolutely no knowledge of what was going on. And at a day and time when trust in the government is at an all-time low, why our city officials, and actually it's the county officials, wish to operate in such a clandestine manner, it's very baffling to the public.
What kind of responses did you get from, you mentioned the county commissioners on, or the people on the planning commission, the majority of them, with the exception of our county mayor and Doug DeMossi, with the exception of those two, the others had no knowledge. Did the county mayor and DeMossi, did they know about this? I mean, did they have all the facts?
Well, they had facts from meeting with the Islamic Center.
They had the rendering. They knew how big it was going to be and all of this.
Well, no, because there's been a number of different site plan applications that's been presented. So who knows what they really knew? They both gave conflicting testimony during the trial. I will say, back to your earlier question about the public, every commissioner that testified in this case testified that there was an outcry from the public as a result of their actions. Not an outcry against Islam, but an outcry against, why in the world have you all operated in such a clandestine manner? Why were we not allowed to know what was going on? Just tell us and allow us to have an opportunity to talk if we want to, or to ask questions if we want to.
Let me give you one example that actually came out in the pretrial hearing. There was a gentleman buried on the site with a temporary or a conditional use permit. None of the commissioners knew about that when they voted. And in fact, they were told that this cemetery had to go to the Board of Zoning Appeals before it was approved. So there were a lot of facts that were discovered after the vote. One of the facts that was discovered after the vote that one of the commissioners expressed great concern about on the stand was the leaders of the mosque had actually websites that called for the killing of Jews and dying in martyrdom for Palestine. Those are the kinds of things that were a direct threat to our Messianic Jew plaintiff and caused great concern about the commissioners that perhaps there needed to be a hearing, that they didn't know all the facts. But all that came out in the preliminary hearing.
Now, you're saying that the persons who were on the board, or who are
right.
on the board,
right.
of the Islamic Center of Murfreesboro had information like that on their website.
That's right.
There were pictures of board members, or a board member from the Islamic Center of Murfreesboro, squatting on American and Israeli flags holding an AK-47, condemning America for Saddam Hussein. I mean, radical postings. And well, I think it's important. A lot of people say, well, the Islamic Center of Murfreesboro has been around for 10, 20 years. What's the problem? It was not until the recent radical shift in leadership that there became a problem. And even Chancellor Corlew, in his written opinion, said that he was troubled at some of the teachings and different things with Imam Balul.
So you're meaning radical change in local leadership. We're not talking about international Islamic leadership.
Specifically, I'm talking about the local leadership.
Okay. But on the website, we're not sure that one of the board members was pictured on the website. Those that we know were pictured were the leaders of Hamas. Hamas is a terrorist organization recognized as such by the United States. And then the imam had a reading list, which consisted of the leaders of the Muslim Brotherhood worldwide. Two of those leaders were Yusuf Qaradawi. You've seen him on the streets of Egypt, and he's issued fatwas calling for the killing of U.S. troops and civilians that support them in Iraq. And Jamal Badawi, who is a disciple of his. Mr. Badawi had a brochure on the ICM website that talked about Islam and women. But both of those men are leaders of the Muslim Brotherhood worldwide.
Do members of the Islamic Center ever talk to you and try to tell you their story and try to persuade you to look at their viewpoint? And if they do, what do they tell you?
That has never occurred.
Does it often occur? Would it occur in other cases? And is this just one of those cases where there is a lack of communications?
I think the Imam Balul has been on public media extensively. He was on a forum with Franklin Graham, actually got in a dispute with Franklin Graham about these issues. So he has been very public. He has communicated, but as to Joe or myself, no. We've had communication with their attorney, but we haven't had any communication with the nor have our clients with the ICM.
So at this point, the only course that you have to take is through improper channels granting the permit, the building permit, and to try to stop that. And by stopping that, it not only slows it down, you're saying, that it would make those building permits that were issued illegal, and they would have to start again.
Chancellor Corlew used the word void ab initio, which means void from the beginning.
Okay, and would he be the one who hears the case?
Yes, sir, that's who.
Okay, so we're not going to change judges somewhere down the road.
The only way that this case would change judges is, Chancellor Corlew is our trial judge. Either side would have the right to appeal to the Court of Appeals once a decision was made, if they chose to do that. But Chancellor Corlew is our trial judge.
This is one of those topics that I would imagine the courts, no matter what level they're on, look at as a very touchy issue. And one of those issues that it's difficult to find a ruling that would be middle ground. It's difficult to find a ruling that would please everyone. There's no ruling on that would please everyone. This is a rough issue that you have in front of you. I'm guessing you knew that from the beginning, though.
Yes, sir. We came to realize that real quick if we didn't know it before we got in.
What are some of the things, as you look back now, as you look back on what has happened since you both got into this situation, what are some of the things that you feel the public should know, maybe that they don't know right now, that you haven't shared with us yet, or some things that maybe you wish you had done a little bit differently?
Well, I think that we've talked about some of those this morning. And they're really just questions that we did not sue the Islamic Center of Murfreesboro in our lawsuit. We sued the county for the procedures that were followed because we believed that there was not due process and that an institution like this should be subject to a full hearing. All the questions of the public asked, for example, there's even if the public were to have the questions now, unless we prevail in this lawsuit, they will have no recourse, no ability to change what appears to be a freight train headed down the track with the construction moving forward on the site. And as I said, if we were to prevail, they'll have to tear it down. But still, the point in terms of healing the rift between the public and the county, what really needs to happen is for it to be done over again and be done in accordance with the applicable procedures.
We're talking this morning about the Islamic Center of Murfreesboro, and we have the two attorneys who are handling the case against the construction of the Islamic Center. We're talking this morning with Joe Brandon and Tom Smith. We're going to pause for just a moment, check on the traffic and the weather, and we'll be back. And when we come back, for those of you who listen on a regular basis, you know that this next segment is where we open up the phone lines. So if you have any questions dealing with the Islamic Center of Murfreesboro, your opportunity to call is right now, 893-1450, 893-1450.
And says, will you please come with me? Sarah.
Come in here and have a seat, please.
When you hear something you like, let us know.
Shut the door.
Tell Good Neighbor Talk when it's something you don't like.
We care deeply about how you feel. WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Was your car damaged by the recent hailstorm we had in Rutherford County? Windows busted out, dents all over your car? Ford of Murfreesboro can properly repair your car to make it look like new again. Ford of Murfreesboro works with your insurance company so you don't have that hassle. Simply drop off your car, get it repaired, and then pick it up. It's that easy at Ford of Murfreesboro. Ford of Murfreesboro, at the intersection of Broad and Northfield. Hail damage repairs being done now at Ford of Murfreesboro.
Bell Jewelers, where quality, value, and honesty ring true.
We buy our diamonds direct from the cutters of Belgium, the diamond capital of the world. Diamonds are a symbol of your devotion, of your life together, of how far you've come.
Bell Jewelers, a cut above.
This is Greg Tidwell from Bell Jewelers across the street from Toots in Murfreesboro. Visit us online at belljeweler.com.
We'll have plenty of sunshine today. High temperatures in the mid-60s. We'll have a south wind between 5 and 10 miles per hour. Clear skies tonight, low of 36. I'm WGNS meteorologist Mandy Valuber. Right now, it is 48.
This is Freedom Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. We still offer checking that comes with a free check card. There's no balance requirement, and you can write all the checks you need to. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Family Staffing Solutions.
They've given me back a new life. There are truly people in this world that care about the elderly.
Family Staffing Solutions. Personal care assistance at its best.
This is not a high-pressure business. We want you to be very happy when you agree to do business with us.
That's Becky Buchner with Family Staffing Solutions.
When you need that help, it's there for the asking.
143 Uptown Square, 848-6774. Online at familystaffing.com.
Catch the Truman Show with Truman Jones, weekdays at 2 on WGNS AM and FM, talking about the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County.
Welcome back. Our number is 893-1450 if you'd like to join us in conversation this morning. We're talking about the Islamic Center of Murfreesboro. Attorneys Joe Brandon and Tom Smith are with us this morning. And so if you have any questions dealing with the Islamic Center, they can give you one side of the issue. 893-1450. And sort of to recap, Joe, you were saying that, give us a recap, if you would, of what you hope happens in the case as it stands right now.
Well, we hope the chancellor will agree with the public and with these plaintiffs, and the fact that they received absolutely no notice, that he will declare all permits void. Now, assuming he agrees that there was lack of public notice, which he's already expressed concern about that from the bench, then he would be left with no choice but to declare all permits void.
And at that point, the procedure has to begin again, the application for construction permit, site permit, the whole bit, I guess.
It, once again, I emphasize, if that's what they choose to do. In the preliminary hearing, we went to court, we put on a handwriting expert that testified that the original application was a forgery. It purported to have Isam Fadi's signature, who parenthetically has Allah, or the battle cry of jihad, over his front door. But we put on testimony that that was a forgery. It wasn't even his signature. So who really knows who's advancing this cause?
How did you prove that? And what did the members of the Islamic Center say about that?
We proved that by the fact that there were a number of his signatures which had been presented. And we employed a handwriting expert who came in and gave that testimony. With respect to what they said about it, we heard nothing.
So that really was unanswered then?
Well, along with a number of issues.
So there are a lot of questions that you have come across that need answers, in your opinion.
Yes, sir. It's not just me. It's the public and these plaintiffs that are wanting the answers. Tom and I are merely a piece of conduit for our clients.
When you were asked to take on this case, what went through your mind? Did you look at this as, this is something the community needs to be more aware of? There has to have been something that was going through your mind while you were thinking about this. This is a big, a big case in your life, I would imagine.
Yes, sir. I'm up for the challenge. I've been a criminal defense lawyer for 17 years. I've argued the Constitution. The day I took this case, I was kicked out of my office for taking this particular case, and I suppose it was at that point that I realized that it was going to be huge. But I'm a fighter, and I'm up for the challenge.
Tom, how about you? Now, you're from Franklin.
So I'm from Franklin. That's what got my attention. I went on the website and saw that this Islamic Center had Franklin as one of its targeted areas for some of the teaching, and then went online and saw some of what they were teaching. And I worked in Washington off and on for 12 years, so I was fairly familiar with the issues that were raised about terrorism that have been raised since 9/11. I was actually in Washington on 9/11 and thought there should be a pretty high degree of scrutiny just to make certain that the public safety is looked after. And of course, when we looked at the facts, we discovered that not only was there no scrutiny, but nobody even knew about it. The county, of course, contends they complied with the technical requirements, but of course, our argument is that even if you complied with the technical requirements and nobody knew about it, you haven't done the job from a procedural standpoint.
So your issue with the county is that, first of all, the commissioners who voted in that zoning request, they didn't look at the papers because they didn't have the papers until they sat down to vote. They didn't ask for some additional time to study the information. They went ahead and voted. And on top of that, you're finding all sorts of holes in the case, things that you have false signatures, you feel you've been able to prove those. As you look in other communities, and I know you've said that this is unique to itself, this particular case, but are there other questions dealing with growth of this sort with the Islamic centers in other communities that you have talked with those persons and gotten maybe some of the end results after the government has allowed them to move forward with construction?
No, sir. in the very beginning in this case, the Department of Justice came in bullying, trying to push everybody around, threatening criminal sanctions if you questioned Islam. Unfortunately, I think we of Americans have all laid down and gone to sleep, and we're afraid to stand up and ask any questions. And that's simply unacceptable to these plaintiffs, and we're not going to allow that to occur. And I want to say one more other thing on the lack of notice. Rutherford County has had a history of posting the agenda and public notices on their website. This is the first time in over 1,000 public notices that it was not on the Rutherford County website. It was secretive, it was meant to be secretive, and other than Doug DeMasi and Mayor Burgess, no one knew anything about what was going on.
So you really feel that there was a cover-up effort here?
That's what the proof showed.
And yet the government leaders, the county government leaders, have indicated otherwise.
They claim, of course, that it was an oversight, that a failure to post on the internet was an oversight. And that's their contention, that this was just an accident.
One out of 1,000.
Right. Correct.
Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm just very riled up that there's no more calls coming in on this matter than what are this morning.
Well, I think people are afraid to talk about it.
They are. Well, I am not. And I'm telling you the truth. There's nobody in Rutherford County that does not know what is going on if they would be willing to stand up against this, because the TV is full of it from other counties that this has happened to, other states. We know what it's all about. It's to take one little part at a time and then cover it all. And it's hard to believe that our county, two officials in the county, let this start and get this far ahead with nothing being done. I mean, Christianity, nobody fights for us. for Christianity. I mean, we can go to jail if we talk about somebody else, you know. They can do whatever they want to us and to our children in the schools and make them do what they want them to do. And the ACLU, people just do not know enough about what they're all about. So I'm for these two lawyers 100%, and I hope Rutherford County won't be afraid to speak out, because that is our God-given duty to uphold the law of our land. And I will go, and maybe someone else will call in.
Thank you for calling. You have a good day. 893-1450, if you have a thought, either way. I mean, we'd like to hear your thoughts this morning. 893-1450, let us know your thoughts. And I think that one of the strengths of talk radio, we live in a diverse community, and people who have different opinions, once you start communicating with each other, you might find that there is some common ground. Well, I believe she got everybody stirred up, so all the lines are full now, so let's go to the phones. You're on WGNS. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
I'd like to ask, in case they are successful in winning this lawsuit, how much of a bill is going to be presented to the taxpayers of Rutherford County to pay for their attorney's fees? And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
What about that?
Well, the taxpayers of Rutherford County, of course, are not paying any attorney's fees for Joe and myself. And we don't know how much the county has expended. Joe, you might be able to expand on that.
I don't know how much they've expended. I know they set four lawyers in the courtroom. Two of them don't even have a pad and paper, and pass that bill on to the taxpayers. I don't know. As far as Tom and I, no one would be responsible for our attorney's fees.
Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you this morning? Hello there. Did you have a comment? All righty. Well, we'll go to another line. You're on WGNS. Good morning.
Hello.
Hi. Good morning.
I have a comment, actually a couple of questions as well.
Okay.
First, I'd like to commend the attorneys for taking up the cause. And actually, this question is, I guess, for you. Do you know of any effort to address this at a ballot box, you know, regarding the people who kept this under wraps? Are there any challengers that you know of?
Any challengers that you know of on this?
We don't know. We haven't tapped into the political grassroots, but I suspect there are folks that are working on that issue.
Another question is, when it does come into review again, what are the real likelihoods that this gets turned over? And if it does, and if they have public meetings, what are the chances that it just doesn't get approved again?
Well, the problem with what you just said is our county, our law remains silent as to whether or not the public is entitled to a hearing. Our county attorneys are interpreting the law's silence to say you are not entitled to a hearing. So the law is silent, could say you are, you're not. Our county attorneys are saying that you are not entitled to a hearing. And that's a real problem. Once again, at a time when trust in the government is at an all-time low, why in the world you would want to appear to be covert and secretive and clandestine in the actions of our government is incomprehensible.
Let me just say, I do think that the full county commission would try to assure that the citizens were heard. We know that because after the meeting and the approval of the planning commission, there were at least two or three other meetings of the full county where they said, this should have been brought to us. This should have been dealt with. The citizens should have been heard. There should have been a hearing. So I suspect that if this is turned over, you'll see many county commissioners listening very attentively to what the public has to say.
Well, I know you may not want to show your hand yet, but is it going to be your argument mainly procedural, like you're talking about?
That's right.
I know that there's no Christian churches in Afghanistan, and they're about to execute a Christian pastor in Saudi Arabia. I get that, and I don't want to become, you know, barbarous, you know, here, and this is America, and we have freedoms. So everyone knows full well the motives behind behind the center, and, you know, you just said what the guy has tacked up to his house. So there's no secret here, but, I mean, how do you debate that in a free society?
And you're going to be the one that would have to debate that, I guess, really, in the courts. How would you do that?
Well, that's what the First Amendment is all about. Now, there are efforts to silence those who would even raise a question about this mosque. Heavy-handed efforts, sometimes in concert with the government, and that's what is very important for the citizens to stand up against. Because if we lose the First Amendment, we lose an essential linchpin of democracy. So that's an important point here.
And I believe the issue becomes whether or not Islam as a whole can be considered a religion. Certainly there are religious aspects to Islam. They pray, no question about that. But there's also the political, the legal side. I mean, if you look at the life of Muhammad, that's the perfect example. It included warning your wife before you took a whip down and whipped her with it if she didn't act like you wanted her to. Muhammad's favorite wife was a six-year-old child. You know, under American law, you cannot hit women and you cannot have sex with children. There is no such thing as consensual beatings. There is no such thing as consensual sex with minors. Those are unacceptable. And back to what I said in the beginning, Sharia law, which is Islamic law, cannot coexist with the United States Constitution.
So are you saying that if these continue to be approved, we're going to have conflicts with Sharia law and the Constitution because issues like you just described are going to be brought to court and, I guess, thrown out because of the Islamic Sharia law?
It's not, are we going to have those? They are already being advanced in our court systems here in Rutherford County on both the order protection docket and on both the domestic assault docket. Issues of, how can you get an order of protection against me? I'm Islamic. It's okay for me to strike my wife. How can you have me arrested for assault? It's okay for me to beat up my wife. Those are simply unacceptable. Women fought hard. It's not been all that long that women were allowed to vote in America.
You're certain that that is happening in Rutherford County now? We're not talking about Michigan or something of that sort.
Yes, sir. I'm positive.
Good morning. You're on WGNS.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is my opinion.
Okay.
My opinion, the Muslim religion has cost this country a few $1 trillion. I want to bring back some memories to you. 9/11 brought down the World Trade Center, killed 2,700 to 3,000 people. You have two wars going on right now, one been going on 10 years in Afghanistan, one in Iraq, and another in Libya. Egypt has been freed. It will wind up being run by radical people, and Lebanon will, and also Iraq and Afghanistan will. That religion has cost this country trillions of dollars since 9/11. In my opinion, they want in this town because it's a college town with money, and they are set up here to recruit college students to come into this religion and also recruit the money from this well-off county. People of this country had sure better wake up. They are using our laws to gradually take over this country. When they knocked 9/11 down, can you imagine the extra security money went in at airports and all throughout this country, the extra FBI, CIA, and what those wars has cost this country? We're in debt over $14 trillion now, and a lot of that debt is due to this religion. I don't know of any Catholics, Baptists, Methodists, Church of Christ people is going around trying to kill us. The people of this country had sure better wake up, and I want to congratulate you two lawyers and the people who is paying you. I want to congratulate them. And Lou Ann Zelnick, I'd like to give her thanks for what I've seen her do in this situation. And that's what I got to say.
Thank you.
Well, two things on that. Lou Ann is great. She's been a real asset to us. But with respect to the first of those two comments you made about you want to congratulate who's paying us, there is no one paying us. Tom and I are working pro bono. These plaintiffs do not have any money. We operate purely off of donations, and those have been very, very minimal.
You know, I don't think anybody knew that.
Well, it's true. Unfortunately, it's true. That's been probably the most difficult struggle in this case is financially.
Let's go back to the phones. You're on WGNS. Good morning.
Good morning. I'd like to commend these two men for being such heroes in bringing this to our attention in Rutherford County. Two words they've said this morning are Hamas and Muslim Brotherhood. And if we are not in tune with all of that, it's in the Bible and it's in being taught to us, and we should be very aware of what's happening around us. And Bart, we appreciate WGNS bringing programs like this to our attention. Thank you, gentlemen.
Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
I'm good, Bart, and I, too, applaud you for having this program on. But I just wanted to make a comment. It's kind of a sad affair that we, the citizens of Murfreesboro, Rutherford County, we don't get involved in anything. I don't know what the problem is. We don't read the newspaper. We don't watch the news on TV. And we're just sitting around and we're just taking whatever some of our elected officials, our county commissioners, and things are putting before us. You know, if we don't wake up, you know, I just shudder to think of what type of things we'll have here in the city, in the county. You know, it's sad that people don't even pick up the free paper, you know, because I know this with the economical times, people might not be able to afford newspapers or go on the internet. But we do need to wake up, be aware, because, see, the mosque is within a mile or mile and a half from where I live now. And just wanted to let the listening audience know, let's get involved. If nothing else, let's be informed. And thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you for calling. Good morning. You're on WGNS.
Yes. I'd just like to know which firm that the attorney was working at that when he took this case, he was dismissed from his firm. And because if he's doing his job and that's what his job is consist of, I'd like to know why he was dismissed and which firm it was. Thank you.
Thank you. Tom, do you know what?
I know that he wasn't dismissed from his law firm. He was dismissed from his office. He lost his lease, basically, is what happened.
So the person who owns the building...
The building didn't want any part of the mosque controversy and simply asked him to leave, which was not a good way to start out the representation in the case.
Our phone number is 893-1450, 893-1450. We're going to pause for just a moment. And we'll be back if you have some final questions. Dial quickly because we just have a few minutes left in the broadcast. 893-1450.
Stop by Southeastern Tire Service before you head off for your winter travels this year. We're a full-service repair facility, so we can get your car in tip-top condition before you head out. Also, from October 31st until November 28th, when you buy four Michelin tires, you'll get a $70 prepaid MasterCard through mail-in rebate. That's at Southeastern Tire Service on Broad Street across from Advance Auto. Southeastern Tire Service, serving Murfreesboro and Rutherford County since 1950. Visit southeasterntireservice.net.
Maybe you need a new mattress. Well, you can look all you want, but you won't find anyone even close to the prices of mattresses at Bell Furniture. And these are Jameson mattresses. Listen, Perry Bell has the Jameson Marriott mattress, the one used in the hotel. If you check around, the queen size set is $12.99, but at Bell Furniture, just $7.99. Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
Locally owned, locally operated, and responding to your local opinions. Good Neighbor Talk, WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Family Staffing Solutions.
I do feel that I have been given the greatest gift. They have been over backwards to help me.
Family Staffing Solutions. Thinking about your parents. We can be there when you're not.
For the older people that have family members that are struggling with this, please understand, you only have to call this number.
Family Staffing Solutions, 848-6774, online at familystaffing.com.
We're back again, and before we take another call, let's go back to Tom Smith. Tom, I believe you had a comment you wanted to share.
Well, I just want to emphasize that there were peaceful Muslims in this community. I've represented Muslims in many aspects of my practice. So has Joe. I think it's very important to distinguish between those who are living here peacefully, abiding by the laws of the United States, and the radical, virulent leadership that is manifesting in other nations of the world. And it's important that we not stir prejudice. In other words, there are peaceful Muslims. We want them to continue to be peaceful. In fact, we want them to have the constitutional protections. We want them to have freedom. We want them to be free from any oppressive Sharia efforts that would come their way. It's just an emphasis, because you shouldn't be suspicious of all Muslims. This really is a movement of recent vintage. But what Joe and I are trying to do is to expose that virulent stream and make sure that it doesn't come to our neck of the woods.
Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you this morning? Hello there.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
This is Pete Dowdy.
Hi, Pete.
Mr. Smith, I have a question that I'm not particularly sure of. With legal notices, planning versus zoning, do you have any idea why, when they run a planning commission meeting, they don't put the agenda on there, but in a zoning meeting they do?
The answer is the current state of the law says that they don't have to notice a regular meeting of the Planning Commission. We think that that's not good law, where that regular meeting talks about and votes on a matter of extreme public importance. We believe this Islamic Center was a matter of extreme public importance, and therefore what was it should have under the open meetings requirements had an agenda. People should have known what was going on and been given an opportunity to participate.
Well, what about a conditional use permit? Some of these go before the entire commission, and the burial out there on the property was issued a conditional use permit. So is that totally up to the planning director, or should that have been pulled out and looked at totally separately?
Well, we contended in the lawsuit that the conditional use permit required the approval of the planning commission, and it wasn't passed through them. But there are cases at the Supreme Court of Tennessee that basically said it doesn't matter what the form is. If what you're doing basically is to change the entire tenor of the zoning map, then there has to be notice. There has to be an opportunity to be heard.
Thank you for your call. We have two more calls coming in, and obviously we can't get to both of them. Let's see if we can't get one on. You're on WGNS Murfreesboro. Hello?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yes. Your question quickly, if you could.
Okay. They should get rid of Ornish Burge is what they should do.
Okay. Thank you for calling. I think we can get another one in, too. You're on WGNS.
Bart?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Hello, Bart.
Hi. Good morning.
Well, since this, they have so much money to build this, has anyone considered, since the mayor and Mr. DeBasi was the only one that knew about it, what kind of tip did they get for approving this? Has anybody considered that? Thank you, and have a good day.
Thank you for calling. And at that point, we are flat out of time. We want to say a special thank you to Joe Brandon and Tom Smith for joining us this morning and giving us this side of the issue. As mentioned earlier, WGNS works very hard to present both sides.
WGNS, Murfreesboro. FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com.